From NPR and Chicago Public Radio, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle, and here's your host at the Chase Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Thank you, everybody. Thank you. Oh, man, it's nice to see you, too. We have got such a great show for you today. We've got indie rock superstar Nico Case. She'll be joining us later to play Not My Job. But first, come on, what a week we had in the news.
Peter?
Yeah,
Peter?
Carl? Yes?
Peter, I'm resigning my post as judge and scorekeeper.
But we've hardly begun the show.
Well, sure. I could stay here for the rest of the hour and milk it. But that's just radio as usual. And only dead fish go with the flow.
All right, okay. How about if we can get you Carl Castle's voice on your home answering machine?
Oh? Okay, I'll stay.
Great. Give us a call before he changes his mind. The number to call, 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. It's time to welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Van from Middleborough, Massachusetts.
Hey, Van, how are you?
Hey.
Good.
What do you do there in Middleborough?
I'm an engineer.
An engineer? Are you an IT engineer? Or do you actually make stuff?
We make stuff.
Oh, making stuff. Nice. I've heard of that. I thought they only did that in China.
Well, we actually subcontract some of our work out.
There you go.
But we do some of it here, too.
Yeah, all right. Yeah. All right.
USA.
Ben, welcome to the show. Let me introduce you to our panel this week. First, you know her from Saturday Night Live and her monologues, God Said Ha and Letting Go of God. She's performing in the Jill and Julia Show at Evanston Space in Evanston, Illinois on August 1st. Her name is Julia Sweeney. Hello, Julia.
Hello.
Next, it's a writer for HBO's Real Time with Bill Maher, Mr. Adam Felber.
Hi, Ben.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, good.
And lastly, a comedian whose first CD, I Heart Jokes, is out now. She's performing at the Vixen in Provincetown, Mass., July 15th and 16th, two nights. Paula Poundstone right here.
Hi, Paula.
Hey, Van.
Van, welcome to the show. Now, you are going to start us off, of course, with Who's Carl This Time. Carl Castle will recreate three quotes from the week's news. If you can correctly identify or explain two of them, you'll win our prize, Carl Castle's voice on your home answering machine. Ready to go?
Yes, sir.
All right. Here is your first quote.
I am not a quitter. I am a fighter.
That was somebody who quit. Who was it?
Mrs. Palin.
Yes, Mrs. Palin, Sarah Palin, governor of Alaska.
What, are you her paper boy?
He's polite. We should encourage that. Okay, imagine, if you will, it's last September, and you're admiring the Republican ticket, the ancient senator from Arizona, the youthful, vibrant governor of Alaska, and then we ask you to predict which of them will retire first. Now, Sarah Palin, to be fair, has had a tough week since suddenly announcing she was resigning as governor of Alaska. Everybody was giving her a hard time. Even the magic talking salmon she caught on her holiday fishing trip refused to grant her three wishes, saying, hell, you'll just give up after the first two. Now, an awful lot of people have tried to figure out the real reason for her sudden resignation right before the holiday, saying it doesn't make sense. But we say, sense? Sense? This is Sarah Palin.
The lieutenant governor was almost tearful. Did you notice that?
I did not notice that.
Yeah, the lieutenant governor looked like someone had just sucked the wind out of his body.
I know. I think he was surprised.
I
wasn't sure when she started if she even knew where she was headed with the speech by the time she got to the resignation.
You mean...
Really, I thought like during the speech she was like, you know, I was sort of thinking about this in the back of my head and I'm just going to go with it.
Yeah.
So when she started talking... She didn't know if she was going to resign, if she was going to proclaim herself the Messiah. She could have gone in any direction.
Run again, and then she was like, oh, and then she just started thinking about the next year and a half, and then it was like, oh, forget it.
Yeah. Wow. I think that's why the lieutenant governor didn't look that happy. You know,
no,
she was like, this is the worst
surprised.
Job in the world. It's been terrible. It's been agony. People have made fun of me. They made fun of my children. And now I want you to do it.
Here, Van, is your next quote.
We don't really understand why he is such a star.
That was a man on the street in Russia speaking this week about a visitor he was clearly unimpressed with. Who?
President Obama.
Exactly right. So Obama goes to Russia to do some summitry, to talk nuclear disarmament, and to get new orders from the Comintern. But the Russians seemed immune to his nuclear-powered charm rays. Among other things, Russians, as we know, tend not to go in for cults of personality.
Yeah. Yeah. Who has he poisoned?
Exactly.
He has poisoned no one. What's the big deal?
Anyway, Obama...
His enemies live.
But this is true.
They live.
But this is true. Obama was criticized for some rare diplomatic missteps. For one thing, again true, he chose to spend an evening with his family. That offended the Russians because he did that rather than go out drinking with Vladimir Putin. All true. Putin was really looking forward to showing him the trick where he drinks a glass of vodka while President Medvedev keeps talking. It's so good. Putin's so proud of that. Meanwhile, the Republicans here at home, marveling at the discovery of a population that did not go gaga for Obama, immediately dropped their anti-immigration platform and announced a massive airlift of Russians into key swing states. All right, Van, here's your last quote.
I was like, Michael, what's up with the glove?
That was Brooke Shields, one of the speakers at a huge media event on Tuesday. What was the event?
It was the tribute to Michael Jackson.
It was the Michael Jackson Memorial on Tuesday. Ancient, yes, he's right. Awesome. On Tuesday, ancient Egyptian pharaohs looked down from their afterlife and said, man, I had a pretty good send-off with the pyramids and the bonfires and the slaves. But I didn't get Katie Couric to come and anchor coverage at the site. Nobody did any work for an hour and a half on Tuesday. People who were injured in accidents had to wait for it to be over for the paramedics to show up. And when they came, they were all weepy and humming We Are the World, and they were wearing just one rubber glove. Meanwhile, Mr. Jackson had a little trouble, just a little trouble getting into heaven because St. Peter checked him against the album cover of Thriller and didn't recognize him. But then Michael did a moonwalk. Everything was cool. They let him in. They like him up there.
All right. Michael Jackson was Michael Jackson. I don't know what the guy did, what he didn't do. I have no interest in the topic. What I can't figure out is a whole country who they wouldn't play his albums. They were angry. People were, he was terrible. People made jokes about him. And then he dies and they're like, oh, Mike, oh. I just don't you think that's a little bit weird
that
no
everybody?
One seems to notice how strange it is that everyone did some sort of bizarre reversal? Let me just say this. I think the time to express love for someone is when they are alive.
One of the odder moments of it was when Representative Sheila Jackson Lee showed up to talk about this resolution she was introducing in Congress to officially honor Jackson for his exemplary life. But Nancy Pelosi... Speaker of the House refused to bring the bill up for a vote. She said that Congress already honors Jackson every day by being freakishly dysfunctional. Carl, how did Van do?
Van had three correct answers, Peter, so he wins our prize.
Well done.